Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Wednesday Conversation. I'm Bethany Gilbert, and I'm here with Pastor Bob Thune and Pastor Dusty White of Coramdale Church, and Coramdale Church's intern, Travis Barrett.
Yes, Travis.
Sitting in Chris Hemmelman's spot.
Hello.
Yeah. Every Wednesday, we sit down to talk about how the gospel of Jesus Christ connects to the questions and issues of everyday life. And today, we're talking about walking with Jesus for the long haul.
You thought we were going to talk about the New World Order, because this is coming to your earbuds a day after the election. We're recording it before the election, so we don't know what's happening at this moment that you're listening to this. It could be, who knows? Who knows what's just happened? But the nice thing is we don't know, so we're just going to talk about walking with Jesus.
Yeah. And we're not going to try to guess to know.
No.
Right? I bet we won't even know.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's maybe one of those deals where like it's still a few days before we know.
Yeah, apparently it's going to be.
I mean, this has happened before. I was alive in 2000. So just saying. So we probably will in weeks to come have some angles or some takes on where we find ourselves as a nation. But right now, we just hope that the nation is still together after a contentious election season. Here's hoping that you are still a Christian who loves Jesus on the other side of November 3rd, 2020. We want to talk about, in this podcast, walking with Jesus for the long haul, which actually is a topic that relates to things like elections, because if you put too much stock in things like who is in office, it starts to really corrupt your spiritual life because you start to live on an election cycle instead of on the kingdom of God's time frame.
I always feel bad for those people.
Yeah, it's just discouraging.
It's got to be disappointing.
So this topic was teed up by some conversations Dusty and I were having just in terms of our longing to help people have some tools to walk with Jesus for the long haul. Obviously, the last podcast we did was thinking about your life 10 years from now, and that's part of this. But more we want to focus on in this podcast is just what are some of the tools to sustain a long-term life of discipleship to Christ? Because I have noticed that it's fairly easy to walk with God for a few years, but man, life has a tendency of beating you down a bit.
Yeah.
It throws things at you that you didn't see coming. And there are seasons, as you go through various seasons of life, there are unique challenges to walking with God in those various seasons. And one of my longings for my life and for the people that we're leading and discipling in Coramdale Church is just that we'd make it for the long haul, that this would be a place where people walk with Jesus for a long time. And we've seen that happen in encouraging ways, and we've seen it not happen in discouraging ways. And so thought it would be wise to talk about, hey, what are some of the tools, what are some of the insights that we need in order to sustain that kind of long-haul discipleship to Jesus? And so we'll talk a little bit about spiritual disciplines. I think that's part of the tool. We'll talk about community. The first thing we want to do, Dusty, you've got a moleskin sitting in front of us. It's like a book that you wrote, it looks like. It's like got a lot of... A lot of good stuff in there.
Sometimes stuff comes to me and it gets moleskinned.
This is a good moleskin. I like that you have grid paper, by the way.
Let's
props. I was going to say, paper. Dusty, you're probably the best note taker that I've ever seen. Like, well, your moleskins look.
My moleskins are a little artistic.
Wonderful. They also have tabs, color tabs.
And it's how I think. I got to go slow and have colors, and it's kind of weird.
It's great. I admire it.
But what you have here are some like eight stages of life, basically.
Yep. Yeah, I have some stages of life. This is not my own. It comes to us from three different ways, but it's condensed into a way that I like it a little bit better. So this would be Ronald Rollheiser in Sacred Fire. This would be Plass and Cofield in The Relational Soul. Although this isn't found in The Relational Soul, this is work, some of the work that they've taught us. So in your 20s, those are good ages of discovery. You should try lots of things. You have a lot of strength and energy. In your 30s, that's your age of competencies, where you have tried some things and failed at some things, but you now feel the weight of responsibility. I think Rollheiser says, we have the house, the car, and all of the debt to go with it, or something like that. And that is really how your 30s feel. But you're aware of your insecurities. You still have strength. You still have skill, and you have some vision in your life. Your 40s is the age of communion. There's a settledness. You have responsibility, but you also have, with responsibility, more self-awareness, and you have deep friendships. In your 50s, this would be the age of contribution. which when I first was researching that, I was like, man, I guess I have nothing to offer. I still am wondering if I'm offering anything, but really the idea here is like to give your life away, selfless living. You have deep communion and skills with the Lord and for the church. You're not concerned with who you're not anymore in your 50s. And so you have a lot to contribute. Here's who I am. Here's who I'm not. How do I turn around and give my life away? Similar in the 60s, those are your ages of legacy, but you're looking at stewarding death well and getting to death in a way that is going to have godly influence. People aren't just blessed now. They sense your unique contributions. I recently met with a 60-year-old guy who's new to our church, and he said, he literally said, it was amazing. I cried after he said this, Bob. We're having lunch on this patio nearby, and he goes, I want to get to death and look back having given my life away to younger men. And I cried.
Yeah.
Because what 60-year-old dude says that? Most guys are like,
I want to play some golf.
Well, my golf game's a little off, and so I got a coach. And, you know, I'm like, oh, that's fine. You can golf a little, you know, why not? But his particular story was he was basically saying, like, I kind of lived some of my retirement years, actually my 30s and 40s, squandered some of my 30s, 40s. So, but I'm just like, man, that's legacy. Like, I want that kind of guy. You know, it's interesting going through these. So age of discovery, age of competency, age of communion, age of contribution, age of legacy. Because when I turned 40, I took, I think you mentioned this even on the last podcast, Bob, that we take days of solitude or whatever. I took a day in January when I turned 40, and I was immediately thinking about turning 50, which was really weird because I was like, well, I just turned 40. Let's not rush this. You know? But that's the first time where I wasn't thinking about the next day or the next year. I was actually thinking about the next decade. And I was thinking, okay, what do my 40s need to look like if my 50s are going to be well? When I was 25, I wasn't worried about that, right? So,
I'm assuming, Dusty, this is a little bit of a ideal pattern, meaning, mm-hmm. I mean, we know some people in their 50s who are still kind of foolish and live like they're 20. And so you can not follow this trajectory, but I think these authors seem to be saying this tends to be how life works for a wise person who's who's trying to live well in each of these decades. Is that right?
Yeah. Yeah. And I think the reason for even this podcast, right, like, nobody listening is like, well, I just kind of want to walk with Jesus for a while. You know, I just kind of want to do it for a couple of weeks, see if it works out. I often wonder, man, am I going to make it? Like, I'm walking with Jesus now and there's a lot of contribution going on, but man, some days, like you said, some seasons just really beat you up, but I really want to do it forever. Right.
Okay. So let's talk about walking with Jesus in each of these seasons. All right. For the 20 something listening to this podcast, Travis Barrett sitting here recording this podcast with
me.
Us.
That's me.
The 20-somethings. And Bethany. The 20-something person on this podcast. What did you call, Dusty? The age of discovery?
The age of discovery.
So what do you think are the unique factors of walking with Jesus in your 20s? What is it? What are sort of like the key, here's what I'm going to experience in my walk with the Lord?
I would say try lots of things with wise people. And then ask for feedback.
Okay.
Meaning like, man, you want to take a missions trip? Go do it. You want to
be an intern?
You want to be an intern? Do it. You're not sure what you want to do? Try this. You don't have a lot to lose.
Yeah.
Right? In your 30s, 40s, 50s, you have more to lose.
Yeah.
So I would say, try it. How did it go? What did other wise people around you say and think?
I would also say in your 20s, building basic spiritual disciplines, like setting a foundation that's just like, all right, I've learned to read the Bible, pray, be faithful in a church community. I think back to like in my 20s, there was an older guy who told me one time, just try to read through the Bible every year.
Yeah.
And when you're, he's like, his thing was, hey, he was talking to a bunch of us that were like 24, 25. He's like, hey, the first three times you do that, it's just going to feel like poking yourself in the eye with a toothpaste. just doing it because someone told you to do it. He said, trust me, if you do that every year for 10 years, by the time you're my age, you will have scripture stored up and coming to mind in all kinds of ways that you didn't expect. And I just took his word for it.
Which you're going
to
need.
That happened.
Yeah.
Yeah. So So that faith, that just faithfulness of like, all right, I just want to build some things into my life, reading the Bible, praying, being faithful in a church community, cultivating some friendships with Christians, just the basic work of establishing spiritual disciplines, which aren't going to feel awesome. Mm. Travis, it's not going to feel awesome to wake up and read your Bible every day, but just do it.
Yeah.
Right. Just do it.
And memorizing scripture, good chunks of scripture. Travis, you're doing that kind of stuff too. Like get it in there now.
Okay. So, and I think the threat of being in the 20s is like, there's lots of things competing for my attention and my energy, right? Think everything from video games to starting a company. You know, it's just like my energy in my 20s can get dissipated in a lot of different directions by a lot of different things that are kind of interesting and fun and adventurous and to compete for that sort of that time and energy that should go toward the Lord and toward his people. All right, 30s, that's where a lot of people in our church are. They're all overwhelmed. They're all tired. Man. They're all getting their butts kicked in their careers and at home with some kids or, you know, whatever. Just it feels like 30s, everybody feels the 30s of what you're saying. I got a mortgage. I got a, I got a car. I got all the debt to go with it. Life feels complex. And I feel like the thing I hear from people in the 30s is just like, am I going to make it?
Yeah.
Am I going to get through this decade?
Yeah, and I just want to say you will. You will make it. You will make it if you stay faithful to Jesus. And your uncle, Bob Fox, says you got to master the restart.
Yeah.
So even when the spiritual disciplines area in your 30s, you're wasted, tired. And what's interesting about your 30s is like you're probably settled into a job, but you're wondering if it's your career. But then you're also like, man, I need to make this my career. Like I need I need to hold on to this.
Change forever.
Yeah. And so you got to master the restart even spiritually. Like I just got to keep, I got to keep doing it. Like I got to keep getting up and keep starting over. It's okay to start over.
I think that in the 30s, there's a lot of that, there's a lot of good energy too. Even though there's tiredness, there's also a lot of good energy. That's like, actually you're already good at some stuff. If you spent your 20s, you know, figuring out who you are and kind of developing some basic skills, then you're good at some stuff and you can really contribute and you can pour yourself into some things that, that bless others and that are good for the community. I mean, I think about like, I planted a church in my 30s, you know, I, helped to start a school right after, well, right at the end of my 30s, you know, but, there's some good energy that I think the Lord calls us to. This is what's funny about that decade is it can be challenging and tiring, but there's also some of your best energy that's going to get exercised in that decade. And so walking with the Lord means mastering the restart, just getting up every day and trusting in Jesus, but also trying to take some risks and do some things for God and for his kingdom. You know, like, hey, man, this is the decade to start a new gospel community. This is the decade to share the gospel with a neighbor. This is a decade to, you know, ask, hey, what things could I be doing to pour my energy into stuff that really matters? Because I think a lot of good we have found within Acts 29 that, if you think about church planting, a 28-year-old person is not a very good church planter because they're still too young and they tend to be like headstrong in unfortunate ways. A 33 or 34-year-old person is a great church planter because there's something about that 5 or 6 years that just like they settle a little bit, get a little more comfortable in who they are, have a little more realistic expectations of what it's going to be like, and then that really works well.
Probably open to some feedback along the way.
Yeah. What happens in my 40s?
Well, good things and bad things.
Wow, man.
Wow.
That's good.
The good thing that happens is you're settled. The bad thing is you're settled. Yeah. So what I mean by that spiritually is when you hit 40s, if you haven't been storing up scripture, if you haven't been exercising muscles, so to speak, like spiritual muscles, then it's really hard to start. Oh, I mean, you can start, but am I right?
Yeah, this is good.
Well, and so if you go out on your back deck with Jesus, what's communion look like with him? There's got to be something to draft off of, so to speak.
Interesting. So let's talk about something I think we see. I think we see, because I'm in that decade. You're in that. You just got into that decade. Welcome to the 40s, by the way.
Yeah.
It's good to have you.
I'm almost a full year deep. 10 months.
I see people in our church that in their 40s are still living off stuff from their 20s.
Yeah. Yeah, like that doesn't work.
They were in the Navigators in college, and they memorized some Bible verses.
It doesn't work.
And they're trying to still work that at age 41 or 42. Or, man, they were in a campus ministry and had really great friends back in college, and they still try to get on the phone with those friends once a month and try to create some sense of, like, deep community. But they don't have anyone who lives in their zip code or in their city who actually they're doing life with.
Yeah.
And so how do I avoid getting to that spot?
By 40, you have to become more self-aware relationally. And that means if you're, here's the problem. If you're acting like you're 25 and you're 40, everyone around you knows it. And so you need to know it, right? Mm. But what that looks like is your life starts to catch up to you, right?
Ooh.
So I can't become who I'm not becoming. That's right. A Walker line, right? Like, or somebody told Walker that he used that line recently. So, but it seems like a lot of, especially men, but a lot of people get to 40 and they're surprised that their marriage is falling apart, or they're surprised that now they can't seem to maintain a job and they're hopping around every 2 to 3 years and they're hard to employ. But it also happens spiritually. They're surprised that the Lord isn't blessing them. They're surprised that that God feels distant. Mm. Well, you haven't asked him to come near. You've asked him to rescue you a lot. Mm. And he is the God of rescue, but he also wants a more intimate daily connection. Mm.
So it's interesting that in the 40, you know, this is like the season of midlife crisis, right? This is where it seems like I think Rollheiser says this, Dusty. We've talked about this on a podcast before. Rollheiser says that the sins of your 20s tend to be sins of passion, right? Just like exuberant energy pointed in the wrong direction. The sins of your 40s are more sins of disillusionment, because there's this sense of like, life hasn't worked out like I wanted, or man, some of the things I really poured myself into haven't produced what I hoped they would produce. Mm-hmm. And so I just feel this sense of like restlessness or disillusionment or dissatisfaction, and that can be a whole different kind of temptation. The places of spiritual dryness that come from that are surprising. That's another way your life catches up with you. It's like you're surprised by those kinds of struggles in the soul because they're kind of new.
Yeah.
You didn't have those when you were 23.
Right. And it's hard when, if I'm that person, it's hard when I have a stubborn personality, because there's probably been leaders or friends or a spouse that's tried to help you, but you've avoided that. And so now there's like more at stake, you know?
Yeah. All right. Get into the 50s and 60s. These are ages of contribution and legacy, but it seems like to really make a contribution in those decades, I have to be reaping the results of 20 or 30 years of faithful disciples. I mean, assuming we're talking about someone who's been a Christian that long, I realize you can become a Christian at age 55 and make a great contribution. So,
totally.
But I'm saying, if we're sort of following this journey, by the time I'm 50 or 60, I'm hopefully able to leverage and reap the fruit of 20 or 30 years of having cultivated some faithful spiritual disciplines and some community and walking with the Lord over time.
I think also by my late 40s and early 50s, I should have a pretty saturated prayer life.
Hmm. What do you mean?
Meaning prayer can be hard in my 20s, but man, I can't wait to meet with Jesus through prayer. Hmm. And in other words, I've come to realize over life that, man, prayer is my dependence.
Yeah.
And the Lord meets me there, and I don't have to fight for that time anymore. It's like the best part of my day.
Okay. So let's talk about, I think we talk spiritual disciplines, you know, we've mentioned scripture, prayer, faithful connectedness to the local church and involvement in the local church. I want to talk about community some, because I've noticed something interesting for people at all these stages of life. Is that it seems like we have a tendency to think about community in very, I would call them consumeristic ways, where it's primarily about who are the people I like to hang out with.
Yeah. Yeah. Right?
And so what I've noticed is like, there's couples in our 60s in our church who have people they like to hang out with. They have like long relationships with people, but they're not formative in any way. Like there's not a sense of like, we're really like getting down to like heart level depth. I was just like, yeah, we, you know, we shop together, we play golf together, we play bridge together. We, you know, like there's just these, and friendship is good. I'm not knocking on friendship, but I think there's a sense in my, that to walk with Jesus for the long haul, the kind of you need a little bit of community in your life that's actually deep and meaningful. And it's like, that's going to talk about the deep stuff, the hard stuff, the stuff that's below the level of just like, hey, how was your week?
Mm-hmm.
And that you need that at every season of life. It can look different. It can be different people. Rarely are you going to have a friendship that started in your 20s that lasts till you're 60, though I hope you have a few. But the importance of spiritual community and hopefully tethered to a local church, I think it's hard to overstate for walking with Jesus for the long haul. If I think about who tends to fade away, it's people who are either isolated or don't have capacity to really connect.
Mm-hmm.
And so they end up sort of like going through struggles, midlife crisis, hardships, circumstances that are difficult, kind of alone. Mm-hmm. And kind of not really bringing anybody into that. And it saps the life out of them.
And what's hard about that, like what we're not saying is you can become a Christian at any time, right? And the Lord can do amazing work. So if you didn't become a Christian at 15 and walk through all these decades, you don't need to don't feel the weight of catch up. Yep. The Lord will start now. But I think it's interesting when I hit 50s or 60s to what you're speaking of, Bob, if I haven't cultivated community and people speaking into my life, I'm probably not doing it at 50, you know, and especially in my 60s. I'm kind of set in my ways, and you can have your opinion and do your life, but I'm going to do mine. We're going to do ours. And yeah, so yeah, that is actually something I long for, that when I'm still in my 50s and 60s, I'm learning, and it's going to be from younger people most likely, right?
My mom is a very wise person. And she has this friend in her life that they've been walking together for probably 40 years now. Talk to each other every day. And both just like deep, wise people. Like people are just like, we're not here to like chit chat. We want to like do meaningful stuff. And what my mom and this friend of hers have started building, they're in one of these later seasons of life. I'm not gonna out my mom's age on the podcast, but she's older than me, okay?
She's listening.
She started making this list of things that when your kids tell you them, you need to listen.
Wow.
Because she's realized that a lot of people in her season of life, their kids are trying to say, hey, we need to have a conversation about whether you should keep living in your house. And her friends are just like getting mad at their kids for bringing that up. And like, hey, when your kids want to have that conversation, your job as a 70 something year old is to listen, because they're probably trying to love you. Like you can still disagree with them but like you can't resist a conversation like that. Yeah. And she's just seen a lot of people in her life get to that season and become brittle and resistant toward people who are trying to love them. And so it's just a fascinating list to me of like things. She has this running list of things when your kids say them to you, you should listen.
Mm.
And she's just like, she's emailing it to friends and saying like, hey, look, I think we need to like,
man,
just, you need to have this list.
That's teachable and humble right there.
Well, that, but it's a fruit of, right, trying to walk with Jesus for the long haul and realizing, hey, part of wisdom is letting yourself be loved, letting yourself be known, trusting the people in your life who actually you've invested in them, and now they're investing in you in different ways than were true when you were 40, you know? Part of what we're trying to offload on this podcast is just to say, if we're going to walk with Jesus for the long haul, we need a vision for sort of each decade. We need spiritual disciplines that are going to sustain that. And we need community. And I think the final thing I want to add in there is, because I mentioned friendship, but the local church.
Yeah.
Community that's tethered to the local church.
Yeah.
I just met with a couple recently who is connecting to our church now, but has been at one church for like 40 years. And I was just like, man, that's beautiful. Like, thank you for being in a place for that long, because it's so rare for me to meet people who have just like gone through the ups and downs of any one church for 40 years, you know, because man, it's so easy in our world to be like, well, I went to this church for a few years, but then the pastor changed, or, you know, the worship changed, or my friends left or whatever. And so then I just jumped ship and went over here. That, you know, there's moments where maybe that's a necessary decision, But I think the beauty of being able to invest in one community of believers long enough,
man,
that there's like decades of fruitfulness is a really beautiful thing that you miss out on if you're going to jump around and kind of dip in and dip out, which seems to be epidemic in our city. I don't know what it is about Omaha, but it's like, man, people love to dip in and dip out after a few years, you know,
drive around church.
So don't
do
that.
Drive throughs and there's drive around church.
If you're going to walk with Jesus for the long haul. And part of that is walking with Jesus means investing yourself in mission for his kingdom. And each church does that a little differently. And so if you've been, you know, if you're constantly jumping in and having to learn a new community and a new way of doing things and some new DNA and just a different vibe for how we do church here, it just keeps you from being able to make the deepest possible impact.
Mm-hmm. I hope that when I get to my 50s and 60s, there's so many people knocking on my door for me to disciple them that I have to say no. Meaning like I've watched your life and you have a lot to contribute. Will you disciple me?
Yeah.
I hope that the list is so long that I actually am like, well, I can't do it all, you know? Like I want that kind of life.
Yeah.
And I also hope that there's unique like Bob, you're obviously committed to church planting. I hope that there's unique contributions that by the time I hit my 60s, people are like, well, I watched Dusty and JC work hard at creating a spiritual heritage from scratch. And since I'm the first Christian in my family, I want to learn from them. Like I want that kind of stuff, you know, and then I want to be able to be like, well, I don't have time for all of it, you know?
Well, and that's what you just shared is a good expression of this for every listener to say like, hey, I want to have that same kind of vision for my life to say, I think there's something in our cultural framework that says, if I want people to learn from me, that's like prideful somehow. If I have a vision that like people would come and like ask me questions, I must think I have it all together. And so I think people are hesitant to say like, would that be okay for me to want people to come learn from me when I'm 50? And I want to say, yes, if you're listening to this podcast, you should want people to learn from your life. You should want what Paul says in 1 Corinthians, follow me as I follow Christ. Mm-hmm. You should want people saying, hey, Bethany seems like she knows how to walk with Jesus. I want to learn from her. Yeah. Travis looks like he knows how to walk with Jesus. I want to learn from him. That having a vision for that is crucial to keep you walking with Jesus, because one of the things that kills our spiritual vitality is just having nothing to give away or having nobody asking for it. And so it's just like, it's like a pond that doesn't have any inflow and any outflow, right? It's just going to grow algae and get weird. And some people's souls are like that. They got a lot of algae in there. That's a bad analogy, bad metaphor, but I was trying for the organic metaphors like Jesus.
Travis, so I'm putting you on the spot here in your 20s. Are there people in the decades ahead of you that you're like, oh man, I'm definitely learning from them?
I mean, that's why I'm here, honestly. Yeah. Like, that's one of the reasons why I was like, I'm going to be here at Cormdale, is because I kept on seeing guys that I was like, I don't see a lot of guys in their 30s and 40s that I'm like, that is the kind of person that I want to be like. And I found a lot of them at Cormdale. And that's why one of the reasons why I've really stuck around is because I'm like, I need to surround myself with people that are really kind of pushing me towards that direction and are going to shape me in that way. I think I have more especially because Cormdale is really full of people in their 30s, some in their late 20s, some in their early 40s, but a lot in their 30s. So I think I have more people in their 30s, not as many in 50s or 60s. But
yeah,
you know, I want some.
I do want to offer a challenge that these people aren't going to just help you, right? Mm. Like you have to reach a decade ahead of you and ask somebody to invest in your life. Or maybe jump another decade. Because honestly, if you're in your 20s, maybe you need to jump to the 40s, because the 30s gets interesting for people sometimes. But, you know, yeah. What would you say to that, Bob?
You're saying I got to be intentional about finding mentors, which I think is true.
Yeah.
And I think part of what we want to cultivate, even in this podcast, is just a vision for walking with Jesus for the long haul. Because I think sometimes we just lack that. Sometimes there's not a decisive sense of like, I'm going to make it for the long haul, you know? And sometimes that's what you need is a little bit of stubbornness that just says, darn it, I'm going through this hard thing, but you know what? I'm not giving up. I don't know what to do, but I'm just going to like hang on, you know? It's like that. Was it a Far Side cartoon? Have you guys seen that with the bird eating the frog, and the frog's got his hands around the bird's throat so that the bird can't swallow? So it's like this bird with a frog in its mouth, but then the frog's grabbing the throat.
That's
so
messed
the bird
up. Can't swallow. That's just like mean.
It was just a funny cartoon because it's like this frog basically saying, "You ain't gonna eat me, bird. I'm gonna choke you out. I'm inside your mouth." That you got to have a little bit of that tenacity to say, like, "Hey, I'm gonna stick it out."
Yeah.
And, you know, it's not gonna. It may not be pretty, but it's gonna be gritty.
Yeah. We're gonna make it. Go the long haul.
Yeah.
Let's do this.
So, hey, let's walk with Jesus for the long haul. And I hope some of the things we talked about on this podcast give you a little bit of a framework for thinking about the whole of your life and what it will look like, what some of the challenges will be, and what you'll need to do to take that journey. I want to encourage you to have some people that you're taking that journey with and to have a commitment to the local church in that journey, because that's what makes churches healthy, is a bunch of people mm-hmm. who really want to walk with Jesus for the long haul and who aren't there to be entertained or to be, babysat, but who are there to be taught and to grow and to pursue the mission of God together. That makes for a healthy church or a healthy community anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
So let's be those kinds of people.
Amen.
Let's do this.
The goal of this podcast is to equip our own church for discipleship and mission. So if you're a Christian or church leader in another context, we thank you for listening in. And we pray that this conversation might be helpful to you as you minister in your context. We'd love to hear from listeners. So if you have thoughts, questions, or future podcast topics, send an email to podcast@cdomaha.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next Wednesday for another episode of the Wednesday Conversation.